The book of Jonah. Let's look at chapter 1, verse number 1, please. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, went down into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Look at verse 17, please, the same chapter. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. How many of you are like me? I wouldn't have waited 3 days. It wouldn't have been a then. It would have been now. I mean, at the moment I hit the water, I think I'd have been a praying. But Jonah waited 3 days. And there's a reason. And he said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, Thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul, and depth closed me round about, and weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth and her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. Verse 7 is pivotal. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Underline those words in your mind. I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee and thy holy temple. Verse 1 of chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Now the fish has vomited Jonah out on ground. And verse 2, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose, finally. He went into Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. I just want to thank the Lord tonight that He is the God of the second chance. He's the God of the second chance. And there are times where you may need a second chance, and I may need a second chance. There have been many times that I've needed a second chance as a child of God. The people that I love the dearest in this room, I'm thinking about many of them, my brother being here, my wife and Ed and others that I've known through the years, we've all needed the second chance. We've talked about the second chances that God has given us. Perhaps tonight you're going through a trial, maybe even a fiery trial. I'd like to encourage God's people tonight, just for a few minutes, on this matter of what to do when you're in a trial, or how to respond to testings and trials, or we could say stages that lead to the second chance. A couple of years ago about this time, we were beginning to wind down our tour, and we had been here at Heritage, and it's always one of the highlights of the summer, one of the great highlights of the summer. I'm very serious. And then we had a meeting in Memphis, and I felt like I was coming down with something in Memphis. And we stopped the van. I got out of the van. And I said, what in the world's wrong with me? A few days later, we were in Woodward, Oklahoma, and saw some doctors and finally got back to Lancaster. And after a few months and treatments and antibiotics and everything else we tried under the sun, they said, Toby, you've been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. That was a very trying time. Along with the Word of God and a faithful wife who meant it when she stood at the altar on July the 18th, 1970, and said in sickness and health, she meant it. Because it was sickness. But she meant it. And then faithful people all over the country praying. And a pastor that was very understanding. God healed me. My hair's coming back, and I'm pretty excited about that. I look like Elmer Fudd on steroids. I promise you it did. It was awful. And thank the Lord. But God has given me a second chance, and I aim to milk it. I'm going to squeeze the life out of it. Just turned 67, and I want my later years to be my greater years. I'm serious. Those of us that have been around a while, we can't keep up with technology today. It's fascinating to me, the computers, the iPods and all that, just astounding. When my brother Lee and I were growing up down in Lynchburg, on a given night, we were out, not with our computers, but we were out chasing lightning bugs, catching lightning bugs and playing hide and seek, or tin can alley up and down the street, kicking a tin can around. Or one of my favorite memories is Mom and Daddy sitting on the front porch, way back there, drinking sweet tea, and we're on the front porch, and WLVA, the old country western station down there in Lynchburg, singing your favorite gospel songs, your cheating heart will tell on you. I mean, Ferlin Husky and Little Jimmy Dickens, man, those were the great evangelists of the day. Can I get an amen there? You know? And those were innocent days, weren't they? They were innocent days. And so we've got to do something in this at this time. What we're looking at, and what I believe what God wants to teach you and me tonight, is that there needs to be an authenticity about us that young people see and they say, you know what, there's something real about that and I want that. I want that when I'm 65 and 70 and 75. Because if we don't do something in a hurry, we're going to lose quick and we're going to win. And I hate to lose. I despise losing. I don't want to lose. And we have 7 grandchildren. Will there be a Heritage Baptist Church and a Heritage Christian school like this when your grandchildren are like this? Now, what can we do about it? Sometimes we get setbacks. Sometimes we get knocked down. Sometimes we're discouraged. Sometimes we're disappointed in people. There are thieves that want to rob us of our joy. Sometimes people will rob you of your joy. And sometimes it's good people, just even unintentionally, will rob you of your joy. Don't let that happen. One ingredient that I love about this church is your joy. Your joy. I mean, when the pastor gets up and he's hurting tonight, but when he gets up and he approaches that thing with humor, there's some joy there. Amen? There's some joy. And I'm encouraged tonight. People will rob you of your joy. Sometimes things will rob you of your joy. There's some folks that are not even church tonight because of some thing. They're down there on the lake. That boat got them. I have a good buddy. He said, yeah, I bought a boat, Brother Toby. I named it Visitation. So if you're wondering where I am, I'm out on Visitation. He was out on Visitation a bunch, you know. People will rob you of your joy. Things, circumstances will get you. Circumstances. And we face circumstances. Some of you tomorrow are going to have to go to work and face a boss that's just awful hard to face. Some of you have dilemmas at home tonight that are hard to face. Some young people are struggling and with identity and with God's will and so many things that young people go through today that I never had to go through. I mean, we got the daylights knocked out of us for chewing gum in school. I mean, if you smoked in school, you went to purgatory for about a week, man. It was unbelievable, you know. It's just a different day, isn't it? Now we have timeouts. Timeouts. Yeah, my daddy would have timed out us, Lee. I called my brother one time a low-down, dirty crook, which he is. and daddy knocked me across the room. Just, man, I went rolling across the room. He went on me and said, don't you ever cuss in my house again. And I said, all I called him, he said, don't do it. I said, okay. Well, here's a man. When I read about this man, Jonah, I see a man who is deceived, self-deceived. The worst deception of all is self-deception. It's a killer. Self-deception. And let's don't get wrapped up in I'm okay. No, we're not all okay. We all face the fiery darts of the wicked one. And everybody in this room, including old Toby, needs to be encouraged tonight by God's word. We were knocking on doors last Saturday, I think somewhere down in North Carolina, wherever we were here and there and everywhere. And it was noon. It was the last door I was going to knock on. And a fellow came to the door and I said, hi, my name is Toby Weaver and we were singing last night. And he said, don't you know what time it is? And I said, yeah, it's noon. He said, unbelievable, and slammed the door. I said, what was that all about? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never slept till noon. Although it sounds like a pretty cool idea, doesn't it? And so crazy things happen to all of us, but we all need a second chance, don't we? A couple of summers ago, we were in North Carolina, and we went into a McDonald's, and as we were going in, we typically pass out tracts and give tracts to people. And Pastor, we walked in, there was this great big Harley Davidson motorcycle, the biggest one I've ever seen. And I've learned the bigger the bike, the bigger the biker, usually. And so I walked in, there was this great big fella eating his McDonald's stuff, had on his bandana thing, had a big old Bowie knife sticking out there, his colors, big guy. And so I walked by and I said, like that. And he went, and I thought that was okay, we're good. And so I left and went, like that, and he went, like that. And the Holy Spirit said, Toby, give him a track. And I said to myself, And I wimped out, chickened out. Awful. And I felt empty. I walked into the van. I said, I should have given that guy a track, man. And I got to the van, opened the door, and we had the quartet with us, those boys. I said, you guys see that biker in there, man? And my wife said, yeah, I gave him a track. And the Holy Spirit said, Toby, you know, I'm going to give you a second chance. Go back in there and talk to him. I went back in, and I was embarrassed. I said, hey, buddy, my name's Toby. My wife gave you that piece of paper. He said, you know what? There's some stuff in here I need, man. I said, can I talk to you about it? He said, yeah, sit down. And I led him to the Lord. Now, God is the God of the second chance. And let's pray, and we'll take a few minutes and talk about it, and then we'll go to the next thing. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd take these thoughts tonight and encourage us. Help us to be more like Jesus when days are great, when days are tough, when we're winning or when we're losing, when we're heavy-hearted or when we're light-hearted, when we're on top or when you've seen fit to allow us to go through something that takes us to the bottom. Help us to know how to respond to this, because we're living in such a volatile day and people need to see the Lord in our lives in a unique way. In Jesus' name, amen. I see a man who's self-deceived, but thank the Lord, he's going to be delivered. I see a man who's running from commitment. Every time you run from commitment, you hurt yourself. If you used to be in the choir, may I admonish you to get back in the choir? Don't run from it. Yeah, but Brother Toby, you don't know. They practice. Have you ever heard one that didn't? Thank the Lord, they do. Okay? You got to practice. You got to rehearse. I used to work in the nursery. Get back in the nursery. I used to teach a class. Get back on board. I used to be an usher. I used to. If God ever lets me plant a church, I'm going to name it the Houston Baptist Church. And that thing will explode. I mean, I'm telling you, don't be a Houston Christian. Houston. Get back in the game. Get off the bench. Get back in the game. This man's running from commitment, and he's not happy about it. And in the middle of the whole thing, on the ship, storm comes, and the men on the ship figure out, hey, I tell you who it is. And even in gambling, they figured out who it is. And they chunked him off the ship, went in the water, went right in the fish's belly for 3 days. And then he started praying and said, then I remembered the Lord. What a story. We've got to play this game by God's rules. We've got to live by His terms. And God is not, let's make a deal. God is God. And He wants us to find out what He teaches. And what you and I can, the values that you and I can have, the value that we can bring to the Heritage Baptist Church, the value that we can bring to the school, the value that you can bring to this community, the sky's the limit. If we will heed some warnings. Now, there are some stages, I think, that lead to the second chance. Very quickly, here they are. The first one is simply this. I must recognize that there is failure in my life or an inability in my life. There's a failure in my life or an inability. That's the first stage. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And it's me. We're so good at finger pointing and blaming and shifting. And look, I hurt my boy's feelings one time. I wounded his spirit in church in front of his friends, in front of my Sunday school class. I wounded his spirit. I lost my temper. In church, in front of all those people. And I hurt my boy, my son. He's just a little guy. And got home, and And I said, Todd, would you please, please, please forgive me? And he graciously did forgive me. And we need to be in the forgiving mode, do we not? And thank the Lord, and I'll bring it to him. He's 37 years old now. I'll bring it up to him, and he'll say, I don't remember that, Dad. I know he does. But he's telling the one who did the offending, you're forgiven. That's the way to live right there. That's the way to live. It takes the burden off of me for making a mistake. It takes the burden off of me for blowing it. And it takes the burden off of him because he has forgiven. And I love him, and he loves me. And that's the way we ought to live as Christians. But every once in a while, dads mess up. Moms mess up. Sometimes kids mess up. Sometimes children mess up. And when we do, may we recognize the first step to getting right with God and having a second chance is, hey, I admit I made a failure. I've had to tell my wife from time to time, hey, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. And maybe you're like me. I hate to say I'm sorry, but I tell you what, the sweetest thing in the world that we can do for each other at Lancaster Baptist Church or at Heritage Baptist Church is realize that we have inability and that we have some failures and admit it and get on with it. Get on with it. Nobody's perfect. I read about David in Psalm 51 where David said, My sin is ever before me. I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is there all the time. And then he said in verse 12, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. That's what we need today. That's what teenagers need to see in us. Not goofy, stupid, that business, but joy. Joy in spite of cancer. Joy in spite of the other guy got the raise. Joy in spite of the other guy got the promotion. Joy in spite of whatever we need to do in spite of. And I promise you, according to this book, that if I recognize that it was me and my inability or my failure, that's the first step and the first stage to the second chance. But I notice the second stage. And that second stage is I must have a crisis of honest reflection. I must not blame my trial and blame God for the whale. I must thank God for the whale or the fish or the cancer or the layoff or the whatever. I got to thank him for it because the game isn't over yet. Lord, thank you for the cancer. I learned that my wife meant what she said when she said in sickness and health. I learned that Christians really do pray for people they love. I learned that the Bible does come alive more than it's ever come alive. I learned so many things. I learned that every day is a gift. Every day is a gift. Every day is fantastic. Every day should be a masterpiece. And I'm not talking about hype. And I read one of those books, Psycho-Cybernetics, by Walter Maltz one time. A leadership book. I read that thing, Pastor. And it said, you don't need as much sleep as you think you do. And I said, yeah, that's right. He said, you just need character. I said, yeah, that's right. And it said, you just need 2 or 3 hours sleep a night. Yeah, that's right. And it said, you just need to get with it. And when you wake up, get 2 or 3 hours sleep and wake up like 1 or 2 in the morning, go to work and sit straight up in bed and say, this is going to be a great day today. And if you'll do that, you can get it. I said, that sounds awesome to me. And so the first day, Brother Coase, that alarm thing went off about 4 in the morning. I sat straight up in bed and I said, this is going to be a great day today. Just like the book told you to do. And my wife looked at me like, what in the world? And I got went to work, worked like an animal. Until about midnight, came home, slept 2 or 3 hours. Alarm went off. This is going to be a great day today. And did all my stuff on adrenaline. About the fourth day, I was walking into walls, falling down steps. You know, seeing double everything I was looking at. And so I set the alarm for 4 o'clock and that thing went. And I sat straight up in bed and I said, this is stupid. That's the book you need right there. That's the book we really need. Rather than psyching ourselves into being loony. I mean, I'm not real smart, but animal crackers are smarter than what I was trying to do, you know? So I've got to have a crisis of honest reflection. I'm thinking about the young ladies here. There are 6 Harvin sisters in all, bless their hearts, and they all can sing like crazy, and they all love the Lord. About 6 years ago, their mother discovered that she's going to have a baby boy, 6 sisters, a little boy on the way. And their dad's a pastor of a mountain church up in Pennsylvania. And The mom had the little boy. They named him Mark, healthy little boy. 2 weeks later, the doctors discovered, because mom was in pain, that she had cancer, bad cancer. And 5 months later, she went to be with the Lord. A dad who's a pastor of a small church up in Pennsylvania, 6 daughters, a newborn baby, pastoring a church, a Christian school. And these girls, by faith, have come to Bible college and have worked very hard. Never complained, never griped. In fact, they rejoice. You don't have to be around them long to let some of that joy rub off on you. You have to be around them long to let some of that authenticity rub off on you. And that's what we need today. We need, in spite of people, circumstances, things, and worry, and all those things, that those fiery darts that are coming at you and me all the time from the devil, and they do, don't they? We need to, in spite of those things, realize, Lord, I'm going to have an honest time of reflection. And I must not blame God for all of this. I need to thank Him for what You've given to me. I see a third step. It's very simple. I must draw nigh to God. James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Next verse says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And that's what we need at Lancaster Baptist Church today. Pray for West Coast Baptist College. I have the wonderful privilege of being the dean of students. And one of my prayers is that not only will our school be clean, but it'll be squeaky clean. Squeaky pure. And we work very hard at it. It's the same thing that you do right here at Heritage, the Christian school. You not only want it pure, you want it squeaky clean. When something's squeaky clean, it's really clean, isn't it? And I pray that our homes, brethren, that our phones, that our computers, that those things that we have, our thought life, gentlemen, will be squeaky clean. And it could be the thing that stops the flow of God's blessing on you and me. It's because the conduit, the oil of the Holy Spirit is clogged in the conduit because of impurities. The book of Proverbs says, take away the dross, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Dross is the impurity, the corruption that's on raw silver when it's mined. And it goes through a fire, a refiner's fire. And in that fire, the corruption is burned completely off of the silver. And it comes out of the refiner's fire, 999 fine, a beautiful bar of 10-ounce Engelhard silver. The impurities have been burned off. And the trials that you and I go through and the things that you and I face are not to hurt us and to beat us down, but so often they're to burn those impurities off. To burn the dross away so we can come out and be used of God, you see. So I've got to recognize that sometimes I do fail. Sometimes my ability just wasn't good enough. Sometimes I must realize that I've got to have a crisis of honest reflection and I've got to draw nigh to God. And I can't do that. I can't do that properly unless I purify my heart or I'll be double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable. And what we need at Lancaster and at Woodbridge is stability, a stabilizing bar. May God help us men in our churches to be the stabilizing factor in our homes. I was so impressed with the little film a while ago. And you guys are fast, man. I'm so impressed. But I was so impressed of the beauty of the carpet, of course, but the way you work together. And you did all that. You weren't double-minded. You had one thing in mind. Let's get her down. Let's get it set. And let's do it right. That's what the Lord wants for us. And the last step is this. I must take advantage of the opportunity to recommit. I must take advantage of it. That God has given me another chance to live. And chemo is not a pleasant thing to endure. But it's a healing thing. And while going through those times and going through those hours after hours, I just kept saying, Lord, if you'll heal me, I'm going to take advantage of it. If you'll heal me, if you don't heal me, you want to take me home, then I'll take that. But if you'll heal me, I'm going to really live. I'm going to live till I die. I want to really live. And I'm not, again, it's not hype. It's not, you know, Jesus got a hold of my life anymore. It's not that. It's not that at all. It's not any of that hyper, because we still have bad days. We still have disappointments. We still go through, we all of us have that. I must take advantage of the opportunity to recommit to my marriage. Maybe tonight you just need to, in your heart, I want to recommit. I'm going to recommit authentically. Maybe with your children, I'm going to recommit. Maybe teenagers, you've seen your mom. Maybe you've seen your dad mess up. I promise you, he feels pretty gunchy about it. He thinks about it. It was a bad day for me. It was a bad day. Awful day. And I still think about it to this day. But maybe you've seen your parents make a mistake. Well, when you become a parent, you're going to make a few yourself. Just for the record, okay? Or maybe dad, mom, your teenager has disappointed you, and maybe deeply. Tonight's the night to recommit to them. Recommit. Recommit to the love. I see parents. My wife and I have been around long enough. We've seen parents dedicate babies to the Lord until it's time to go to California. California? Yeah, California. Yeah, if it's God's will, go to California. God may call you to Ethiopia to be a missionary. Mom and Dad, don't stand in the way of that. I called a little girl the other night, and I said, hey, this is Brother Weaver. Thank you for coming to the service. And I was going to thank her for coming to the service, and she filled out some information. She was very interested. And her dad answered, and they must have been having a bad night. He said, hello. And I said, hey, how's it going? My name's Toby Weaver from West Coast. I asked him about his daughter. He said, yeah, she's right here. And he tried to cover the phone up, but that doesn't work anymore. Don't do that, okay? Because you can still hear. He said, it's that guy from West Coast. If you filled out something, you ain't going. And so she said, she was crying, broke her heart. And I said, hey, it's okay. It's okay. I said, you just got to pray and walk with the Lord and give it to Him. I said, it's okay. It's fine. I said, you're fine. But that's thank. Frankly, you ain't going. Well, wait a minute. But what if it's God's will? What if it would have made her a great wife someday? And I'm not trying to push that down your throat. I'm just saying we need to take advantage when the opportunity to recommit comes along to your children. I have thought this thing through. The trial is the thing that saved Jonah's life. The trial saved that guy's life. The whale or the big fish in my life may just be the thing that saves my life. And then I was thinking about Pastor and his trial. When God wants to do a transforming work, it typically involves a trial. Isn't that amazing? When God wants to do something unusual in your life, in my life, I don't know why, and my brother can attest to this, but it typically involves a trial. Something in my life that's tough to deal with. Something that has come that's tough. When God wants to do a transforming work, it usually involves a trial. And so many of my trials have been external, but I'm telling you, the ones that really bug me are the ones that are internal. 67. You when you're 67, you look behind you to see who's coming. Those old young whippersnappers, West Coast Baptist College, they're going to take my office. But not with my two guns that I have. You know? And your health and your future, your grandchildren. How many of you understand what I'm saying for your grandparent? You understand? It's there all the time. You know? Every day, this guy had a stroke. This guy had a heart attack. This guy. And so, every day is important. Every day is important. Every moment's important. I don't know where you are tonight with this. I just know that God's people, sometimes the very best friends I've ever had in the world, needed a second chance. Roth, we were there. And thank you for rising to the occasion, son. You're a blessing, brother. You are a blessing. It can be done. My brothers here, thank you. Ed, went through hell, didn't we? We did. Frankly, and God is the God of the second chance, and if He can use Toby Weaver, He can use anybody. I promise you. Let's bow our heads, please. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'll ask Pastor to come and conduct the invitation. Thank you for listening so intently. It's just something that God placed on my heart tonight that I felt like that would encourage you and me as we're getting ready to face the school year in a few weeks, as we face so many things that are in transition today in our homes, our work. I pray that God will bless each one of you.
Father, as we come to you tonight, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, each and every one of us know what it is to be discouraged, sometimes because of what we do ourselves, a decision we make, an action that we take, a mistake, or just a willful, disobedient moment in our lives. And sometimes, Lord, we're discouraged because of things that we have no control over, but they come into our lives. We can feel abandoned, we can feel frustrated, defeated. And yet, Lord, there is nothing that defeats you. And we do not have to remain defeated or discouraged by anything. So, Lord, I pray for folks tonight. I pray for those who may have done something themselves that has had consequences. Help them to understand that you are a God of grace and that, Lord, you are willing to pick them up, clean them up. You are willing to restore them. They are not finished. It is not over. You can use them. And I pray that they wouldn't listen to Satan, maybe even others who would keep them down and help them to understand that, God, you want them. You want them to experience blessing. You want them to have power in serving you again. And I pray that they would respond. And I pray for others who maybe what they're facing is not something they've done. It's something that has happened in their life. Lord, as difficult as it is, you've allowed it into their lives, and it doesn't have to destroy them or defeat them. As a matter of fact, it can actually grow them. And so, Lord, I pray that people would just understand that a second chance is available, and that we would recommit ourselves, that every day we have is a day to serve you, and every bit of energy that we have is energy to be devoted to serving you and serving others. Lord, I pray that you would encourage people today that there is much yet to be done. We live in our nation and we feel like sometimes it's beyond redeeming, but it's not. We feel like it's beyond revival, but it's not beyond revival. And there is no life in this room that is beyond redeeming or being revived. There's no home in this room that is beyond redeeming, being revived. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to see. Just as Brother Weaver said, sometimes the whale, the fish, is the very vehicle you're going to use to restore us and to bless us. So, Lord, speak to hearts. Meet needs, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you quietly stand to your feet? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and we're going to just be quiet as the instruments play. If God's spoken to your heart, why don't you take a step out and come to this altar tonight? Would you come? You don't have to be defeated, and you're not throwaway. You're not a waste. Matter of fact, you're valuable in the eyes of God. There's no situation, there's no circumstance in your life that is beyond God redeeming and blessing you in. Would you come? God, I recognize maybe I got myself here. Or Lord, maybe this circumstance is beyond my control. But in the midst of this thing, God, I'm asking you to work in my life. Would you come? Others are coming. We don't have to be in a hurry. your need is, you come tonight, would you?